This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia on February 19th on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 big hours to spend together live Monday night trivia. So if it's Friday night, please relax, enjoy the show. Don't call. It's not live. But if it's Monday night, in this case, Monday night, February 19th, 2024, by all means, trundle to your phone and call us and participate. 888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE. All right, so that's how you reach us now as to why you wanna. Well, we have bumper stumpers. We'll have 11 of them tonight, and all of them, if you identify the artist, you win for that. If you identify the theme, you win for that. The prizes are virtually worthless, not worth the postage it takes to get them to you, so you're doing this for the fun of it, largely. Eventually, you will get something. It'll be a certificate and something else you don't want, like a DVD or a tabloid, maybe. Something. But as I say, you're participating because you like it, and I like you for that. So, of course, you haven't heard of Bumper Stumper, so you can't guess on one yet, but you will. Several this hour and next hour and the hour after that. And at the end of the night, we'll spend a little time talking about the theme if you don't get it. And we also have a question we throw out. We don't have any stragglers from last week. We're starting afresh with a new question. And here we go. Through the end of the 20th century, 139 movies and books featured the destruction of this. Destruction of what? 888-876-5593 would be 8888-RALEIGH. All right, so we're going to talk to Barry. He's kicking it off with more advertising. So, Barry, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right, so we're not doing Beatles. We're doing more advertising. So I kept...
Right, I didn't get it last week. So I'll try this week.
Well, I hope you will. Now, here, I've got two choices here, and I think I'm going to do the easiest one. I like the other one better, but maybe we'll save it for next week. I'm going to do the easiest one. You will get this. I know you will. You ready?
I'm ready.
Blank. Tastes good like a cigarette should.
Winston.
Absolutely. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. You are a winner.
Well, they were big advertisers for the Flintstones.
They were big advertisers for everybody. Yeah.
And, right, but there was a commercial with Bonnie and Fred smoking Winston cigarettes behind the cave.
Yeah, I know, it's amazing. And like all the game shows and stuff and everything else, yeah, they used to sponsor entire shows, and the characters on the show would absolutely imbibe. And we think about that today, and you know, the only thing worse is the number of cigarette commercials featuring doctors saying it was good for your health.
9 out of 10 doctors.
Yeah, right. Right. That's right. The other one died of lung cancer. All right. So you are a winner. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. All right. So Barry aces it. That's how we're starting off tonight. And that's excellent. And we're going to move on to Tim in Shreveport wants a radio question, and we can do that next, but there's room for you too, especially if you want to tell me what, through the end of the 20th century, was the featured destruction event in 139 movies and books. What was destroyed? 888-876-5593. Your first Bumper Stumper coming up soon on WGN Radio.
To Fez
Raleigh James. All right, that's a lot of your Bumper Stumper there. I was enjoying that entirely too much, but who are they? And yes, a well-known group, not people you've never heard of. Well, maybe, but I think most of us have. So that's the Bumper Stumper, and the question, of course. Oh, I love the question. And yeah, that is throughout the end of the, throughout the 20th century until the end of the 20th century, 139 movies and books featured the destruction of this. The destruction of what? All right. 888-876-5593. So, Tim in Shreveport wants radio trivia. So, hello, Tim. How's it going? Are you with us, Tim? Tim, I'm calling.
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. I don't know where you went. Well, good to hear from you. And so you want radio. And of course for decades the dominant rating service was of course Arbitron. I'll have many Arbitron questions for you in the future, so you can be studying up. But in the meantime, by the early 70s, actually mid 70s to be exact, Arbitron became the dominant radio rating service. By then, one of the big competitors had completely folded in 1970, but another one was still hanging on through 1978. So who did Arbitron finally displace?
Was it Radio and Records?
Oh, no, that's a magazine. No, we're talking rating services like Arbitron.
Oh, Arbitron. Yeah. Let me think.
You probably remember radio in the 60s, they very often, the company, by the way, that bit the dust in 1970 was C.E. Hooper, all right? And radio stations used to say, Hooper and blank rated number one. So who was that other company?
Well, like I say, I wasn't born until 67, but...
In 67, both Hooper and this company ruled the roost.
Oh, man, let me think. Man, you come up with some really good ones.
I try. So,
I don't know.
Company was around. They were rating radio from 1945 till 1978.
Wow.
Yeah, and C.E. Hooper rated it from 46 to 71. And Hoover just used to call you on the phone. That's why all those night jocks had like a 70 share, because they were calling teenagers at night. But this company actually went door to door in the strangest way imaginable, but nonetheless they did. So you don't know?
Hooper and Sturgis or something like that?
Hooper and Pulse rated number one. Pulse.
Hooper and Pulse.
Yeah. Yeah. And before Pulse became really dominant in the 50s, it was always Hooper and Trendex. But I don't expect anyone else to remember Trendex. But I expected someone to remember Pulse. Anyway.
Like I say,
I will have Arbitron questions for you next week or whenever you call. So be studying up.
All right. How about the trivia question that you got?
I'm
going to say the destruction of the world.
Oh, I love that. No, that would do it. No, it is not the world. I like it, though.
A lot of movies and books did come out with saying it was, but I mean, I guess it's just the way it is. Huh?
Well, you know, the one thing about claiming you're destroying the world is you can't have like a second edition of that. You can't have a follow-up movie if you've already destroyed the world.
No, you can't. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, Raleigh, and I'm listening all the time anyway. I may not call in a whole lot, but I'm still listening in and enjoying the program.
Well, I appreciate it, and I love it when you call, so I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and by the way, you don't have to wait for Monday. We can talk about radio any day of the week you like, but we do trivia with it on Monday. All right, Lisa in Dundee wants her 1940s movies. All right, Lisa.
Hello, Raleigh.
How are you?
Happy Monday.
Yes, President's Day.
Well, that's not quite what I meant. Happy Trivia Day.
Yes, no, it was Happy President's Day, too, because, you know, I didn't have to do much. The banks were closed. The stock market was closed.
No mail delivery.
That's right, no mail delivery. So it's like, okay, I don't have to worry about today.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So here we go. A 1942 movie.
Okay.
A man assassinates a blackmailer and his girlfriend. He's paid off with marked money by a man involved in espionage. Alan Ladd stars as the hired killer. What's the title of the movie? And by the way, it made
Ladd.
Did
you just ask me this question?
Did I? I don't know. Did you get it?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Well, if I did, you're going to win because you'll know what it is. What is it?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Let me think. Keep going. You were going to say something about...
saying that that this movie made Ladd a big-time movie star. And it also starred Veronica Lake and Robert Preston.
Yeah, I know you asked me this. See? And this is how much I pay attention.
Oh, my God. So I don't remember asking you the question, and you don't remember the answer? Oh, man. We are headed for the home.
What a couple we make, right?
Yeah, right. I'm telling you, we're headed for the home. They shouldn't leave us alone. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, would you like an answer?
Yeah, you better give me an answer.
This Gun for Hire.
Oh, that's right. I swear you just asked me.
Well, I probably did. See,
maybe 2 weeks ago or three.
Wow.
It was before the last two because last two were romantic questions.
All right, so I'm
3 weeks
ago. I'm crossing this one off now. I know I asked you about Double Indemnity. That's why I didn't ask that one.
Yeah, that
one I remember. But so I've checked off that too, and then hopefully the next one we ask you will be one you know. I didn't ask you. I'll be happy with that. All right, amazing.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the Nightcaps had nothing on us. Yeah, boy. All right, so with that in mind, you can win, because I'll just ask you the same questions over and over. Oh, man, I'm sure it's indicative of something awful. Cleveland and Dennis has a bumper guess. Cleveland, Dennis, and Elgin. I think it's an Elgin. So, Cleveland, Dennis, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, hi, and happy Monday.
Yes.
I have a guess, and it's based on, I had the magazine Bim Bam Boom. Mm-hmm. I had a subscription for a couple of years until they went out of business, and the Channels were featured. Read all about them, remember it, and that was a Channel song.
Yes.
My Heart is Sad.
Yes, My Heart is Sad.
Am I right?
You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing how you can remember stuff from, I don't know,
yeah,
60 years ago.
Yeah, from 1959, but not from, you know,
yeah,
January 9th. All right, well, you are absolutely a winner. It was in 1959, in fact, that the channels did My Heart Is Sad. So, all right, hang on. We'll update that that prize list that you'll eventually get.
Yeah, what's the question for tonight?
Oh, you didn't hear the question. Wow.
I heard it, but I just want
through
to hear
the,
it again if I could.
Yes. Through the end of the 20th century, 139 movies and books featured the destruction of this. The destruction of what?
It has to do with, I got to relate it through Clarence Darrow, the Monkey Scopes trial, and that particular subject, right?
I don't think so.
No?
I would think not. I don't think any of them are involved in this.
Okay, then
right.
I'm wrong.
Thanks for trying.
I was trying to connect.
Hang on.
Am I allowed to request anything, or do I have to wait till tomorrow?
No, you can request it. Of course, I can't play it at this point, but let me.
Right, I know, but I figured if I'm calling in, I'd like the opportunity. But
let me find something to write it down that isn't my ASCAP report. Okay, what do you want to hear?
Yeah, I heard it today with Stevie Wonder, the original uncut of Fingertips Part 2, but I'd rather hear Farmer John by
the Premiers. Okay.
Does that fall into the category as one of the golden nuggets, first one all time, maybe?
Well, Premiers would count because it's an East L.A. classic, of course.
And, right.
I've got the uncut version, which the intro is a little different. But yes, absolutely. I'll play the Premiers.
Yeah.
Okay. Good deal.
Riley,
thanks.
That's all I got. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So, John, add to Cleveland Dennis. Now, John says, shut up. All right. I can do that. And we'll be back to John and Gilbert wants WMCA radio trivia. I can actually do that. Mike in Wheaton, Illinois. Marianne in Chicago. Oh, I had a bumper guest, so she probably knew the channels. Maybe she'll know this next one. Leah in Marcus Hook. Angel TV show trivia. Ruth and Gurney want Civil War Valentine's trivia. I hope they're not related. We'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Step in my place, you'll see what I mean. You know I feel that
you feel a pain in your heart. Baby, I've been let down more times than I can remember. How you cheated on poor little me
from January to December. Step in my place, or you'll see
what I mean. You know I feel that you feel a pain in your heart. I've always been faithful, and I've always been true. But there's gotta be a change in you. Well,
all right, who is that? 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And what does it have in common with the first record we played? Oh, she was terrific, by the way, from Henderson, Kentucky originally. Got her start really in Louisville and wound up touring with Ray Charles and more. That's all I'll say because we'll give it away other than that. But that's our second bumper stumper. 888-876-5593. 8888 R-O-L-L-Y-E. So through the end of the 20th century, 139 movies and books featured the destruction of this. The destruction of what? All right, so Mike in Wheaton wants to guess on that. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
How are you?
It's got to be something very humongous for 139 times. So how many guesses do I get?
Six. You get six.
All right. I'm gonna guess the human race, the Earth, the universe, or something in the universe.
So far, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, now, I should say something in the universe would probably include everything we could possibly know. So I know you don't mean that. So, you know, the destruction of everything known to man, yes, that would qualify. But no, we need to be more specific than that.
Okay. Well, I was going to guess the Earth or the human race or the sun or Mars.
None of those.
All right. Am I hot? Am I close?
Oh, I guess it depends on how you look at it, but I'd say no.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, but
no,
have a great evening.
I'm so glad you called, and I hope you will again. Thanks, Mike. All right. So let's see. Oh, John and Gilbert wants WMCA Good Guys Trivia. How's it going, John?
Oh, can't complain. How about you?
Can't complain either. So we'll talk about WMCA. And Ruth Meyer came up with so many wonderful promotions, as you know. Mm-hmm. But there was only one where she was threatened with arrest. What was it?
Would that be the Good Guys Picnic?
Absolutely right. Yes, it was the Good Guys Picnic. And they were going to arrest this woman. As it was, you know, she left in 68. I think the lawsuits were still ongoing. the trampled lawns and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but
it was
the WMCA Good Guy Picnic. And were you in New York at the time?
Yeah, I grew up in New York, right. So I listened to WMCA, WABC.
What I loved about
the usual stations you listen to as a kid.
Of course. What I loved about that promotion was, of course, you know, everybody could figure out the picnic might be one of several locations, and so at the other obvious locations, she catered them too. She actually put up a big banner that said, "This is not the WMCA picnic, but have a good time anyway, the good guys." And they had, you know, refreshments for them and all that. But unfortunately, you know, she got for the picnic location 10,000 hot dogs and 20,000 cans of soda and all this. I mean, on and on. She did everything except notify the police. And so
I wonder if it made Rick Sklar jealous.
I doubt it. I was not a Rick Sklar fan, although he was promotion director at INS before they hired him at ABC. But
that's true. Yeah.
But
yeah.
As far as if the ratings were only the five boroughs, MCA would have trounced ABC every book. But when you looked at
I think MCA only had 5,000 watts.
Yeah, it wasn't only that. It was 570 was a nice dial position, but there were a lot of disadvantageous things about that. So of course the coverage alone made WABC a monster. But I always thought that Ruth had a better sounding radio station. And what's interesting about that is the family that owned WMCA, the Strauss family, they didn't want her mm-hmm. hired. They fought against her. Yeah, because she was a woman. Yeah. And it was Steve Lubunsky, who was her boss when she worked for stores in Kansas City, who said, "Nope, I'm the general manager. I get to make the pick. The pick is Ruth." So
yeah, it was a great station.
Yeah, it really was. And they fired her in '68, and boy, it went downhill fast after that.
So, yeah, well, they turned all talk and
well later, yes, exactly. Kind of, that's the Alex
the
Bennett thing.
About 60.
Well, she
into 68, 69.
Yeah, right. She was fired in 68, and yeah, by 69 it wasn't pretty. And Gary Stevens had left in 68. You know, he married.
Yeah, he went to Europe, right?
He married a stewardess from British Air, and so moved to Switzerland, and allegedly was supposed to be selling TV rights or something. The hell with it. He was living off his Lost Night royalties from the records that Jerry Green had pressed. that worked until his wife got pregnant. Of course, 1970, comes back to the States. And this story, to this day, and I asked him, he never answered, but I asked him, he had never been a program director. He had been music director, allegedly, at MCA, but it was more of a group thing. Never had any management experience. He comes back to the States. He has lunch with a guy who at the time was president of Doubleday Broadcasting and is hired as the general manager at KRIZ in Phoenix. And I remember saying, "What the hell did you eat?" You know, because I couldn't imagine. How did this happen? But,
really?
And he said nobody else wanted to go to Phoenix in the summer. And he repeated that a couple years later, 74, I think, when they transferred him to Minneapolis, to KDWB, I think it was. In any mm-hmm, event, mm-hmm. same deal. Nobody wanted to go to Minneapolis in winter. So, yeah. it was amazing and ultimately took mm-hmm. over as president of Doubleday. But, so good times. And MCA was a terrific station. And actually, I preferred BMR for nights, but that's just me.
Mitchell Reed?
Yes, he was on before. Yeah. He was on until 65 when he went back to L.A.
Yeah, he went back out to L.A.
That's,
right?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes, and became a progressive rock jock, which, considering how motor mouth he was pretty unbelievable.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, you're a winner.
Can
hang
I try
on.
The trivia question?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Would it be Los Angeles?
We have a winner.
Really?
It is Los Angeles. Yes, it absolutely.
Yeah, it just seems to be a lot of movies about the end of LA.
Directors and authors have destroyed Los Angeles 49 times by nuclear weapons, such as Miracle Mile, 28 times by earthquakes, Escape from LA comes to mind, 10 times by evil space aliens, Independence Day, 7 times by pollution, Blade Runner, 2 times by fire, The Day of the Locust, once by global warming, The Day After Tomorrow, and 1 time by giant ants, Them. So
I think B. Mitchell Reed moved into all that, right?
Well, he went back, and of course, later he was one.
He didn't know what was coming up.
No, and he was later one of the disc jockeys on the Cruisin' series when they made those albums. And
I remember those. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, they laughed so much at me because I thought that they were air checks, and of course they said you're a romantic. Of course they were recreations, but for BMR they had to drug him. To get him to talk that fast. You're lucky he didn't drop dead, because, of course, he later did die, sadly, from a heart attack. But, yeah, they drugged him to get that performance. So,
wow.
Yeah. You are a winner. Hang on. Don't go away.
Okay. Thank you, Raleigh.
All right. So there you have WMCA. And it was truly, truly a terrific, terrific radio station. All right. So we have to have another trivia question, since John just got ours. Okay. 20 years ago, a major research study in the United States revealed that 39% of Americans describe themselves this way. What way? Yeah, when asked to describe themselves, they said this. 39%? All right. 888-876-5593. We'll do advertising with Fran in Austin. Well, let's see. Like I say, Joan wanted a trivia guess, but I think it was on the Los Angeles question, so we'll have to get another one. Ruth wants a Civil War Valentine's trivia. I know it's one or the other, and better be. And Leah wants Angel TV show trivia. I can do all of that and more. But before I do any of that, it's time to talk about the Sea Crane Company, one of my favorite things. And the newest edition of the Sea Crane lineup is the CC Skywave SSB2. It is the ultimate companion and emergency radio. It's a travel radio, too, because it fits in the palm of your hand. It weighs 8 ounces. The reception is excellent, and that's, of course, what all of the products Bob Crane makes have in common. They all have just better reception, AM and FM. And considering its size, the audio is sharp and clear. And the neat thing about it is not only that you'll, with this little thing in the palm of your hand, pick up weak radio signals better than most anything else you would ever find, but you also get, which is really neat, single sideband. You get the all sorts of things that you don't get on your smartphone, that's for sure. You have weather band and a weather alert, and single sideband ham radios from all over the world, and more. The CC Skywave 2 also comes with a new shortwave antenna. It's a mono jack, so that you can connect an external antenna for improved shortwave reception, and it really is neat. But the other thing that I find great is the aviation band. That's right, you're traveling? Well, why not hear all the conversations between nearby pilots, air traffic controllers, and ground crew? The Sea Crane Company warns you, by the way, that that's not legal in all countries throughout the world. It is here. But so if you're traveling abroad, find out first if you can do that. The radio can. Yeah. And so it's terrific. True travel lovers radio. And our true radio lovers travel. Either way, you can go to ccradio.com and read all about it, ccradio.com, including how to make a simple, powerful antenna for absolutely free. And check all that out. If you can't go online, ccradio.com, you can call them, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. Best customer service in the world. You can order by phone. They'll answer all your questions. They'll send you out a hard copy of the catalog. But if you can go online, oh, man, you'll not only find great products, but oh, I guarantee you there's something you'll if you're a radio lover, that you'll say, I got to have one of these. And maybe it is the new version of the CC SkyWave SSB2. You tell them Raleigh sent you. CCRadio.com on WGN Radio. James, all right, who are they? Yeah, a well-known doo-wop record. I expect winners on that. And maybe you'll know the theme, because now this is our third record, so maybe it will become apparent to you or not. We've got several more to go. 888-876-5593 would be 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. So our new and improved question. 20 years ago, a major research study in the United States revealed that 39% of Americans describe themselves this way. What way? Man, I don't know where they did this. I got some guesses, but I won't share them with you because that might give it away. Marianne in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, I got my glasses caught. I actually did know that first bumper sticker, a bumper stumper.
Yep, the channels.
Thought I dialed quick enough to get in, but evidently not.
Yeah.
But the second one is Marianne Fisher.
Absolutely right. I'm more impressive that you would know Marianne Fisher.
Well, you know, I am a Marianne.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yes, Put on My Shoes, 1959.
Okay, now is the... theme that they're all from 59?
No, they're not.
Okay, and they're not on the same record label.
I didn't say that.
They're on the same record label.
What would that be?
Fire?
Yes. Yes. Very good.
And I was going to guess the trivia question is
oh,
zombies.
Oh, don't bother. But no, it's not zombies. No, it's not zombies. No zombies involved.
I know. But when I found out it was L.A., I thought, that's pretty funny because I'm watching a show called La Brea.
Oh, well, yeah, that's actually interesting because when you said zombies, I thought you were answering the 39% of Americans describing themselves this way.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, you don't.
People describe themselves as overweight?
No.
Outgoing?
No.
Divorced?
No.
Okay, well, I'll give up.
Yeah, just take your wins.
I got two questions tonight.
Take your wins. All right, hang on. Don't go away. All right, so yes, absolutely. 100% right. They're all on fire. Yeah. And so that might help you determine who the other artists are because, you know, how many artists can you name on fire? And don't say nobody because there are, well, of course, you know, the first thing we played was the Channels. Anybody know the Channels? Second thing, Marianne Fisher, a little harder. But that last one I played, a doo-wop classic, you should know that. We'll see how you do on the rest of them. By the way, they're all in date order. They're not all from 1959, but the label was active, really, really active from like 59 to 62, heavily active. And so most of them are from that, but they actually were releasing stuff until 69, so a couple are from there too. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, now, do we still have Joan in Waukegan? No, I think we lost her because I think she was guessing on the last question. All right, so maybe she'll guess on how in fact 39% of Americans describe themselves in this way. What is wrong with these? No, that's terrible. And I shouldn't pass judgment, but I will anyway. Fran in Austin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, I guess, first of all, they describe themselves as above average intelligence.
No, they probably think that, though, and isn't that frightening?
I was like, you know, a lot of people who will say that they're above average intelligence a lot of times are not. And so that's why I kind of mentioned that.
Yeah. All right. So you want an advertising question?
Yeah.
All right. Everything's better with blank on it.
Blue bonnet.
Yes, absolutely right. Everything's better with blue bonnet on it. You're absolutely
blue bonnet
right.
On it.
Yes, you're 100% right. All right.
Good All right.
Deal. Yeah, good deal. Thanks, Fran. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. And John will add to Fran's stash as well. It's a good night for winning. I can see that already. So Ruth wants herself some Civil War trivia, and we'll be doing that next hour. So don't go away, Ruth. And Lee and Marcus Hook, Angel trivia. And there's plenty of lines available for you. Two more hours of Monday Night Trivia right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Who are they? We know they're on fire. 1961. Yeah, Bobby Robinson's a wonderful label, along with many others like Fury and Sue, and on the list goes, actually. And all were totally wonderful, but Fire had some great songs, as you're hearing tonight. So who are they? 888-876-5593. So 20 years ago, a major research study in the United States revealed that 39% of Americans describe themselves this way. What way? All right. Or have your own category. We approve that. Leah in Marcus Hook. How's it going, Leah?
Good. How's it going with you, Raleigh?
Can't complain. So you want Angel TV trivia.
Yeah, did anyone guess that that female blues singer that you had on?
No. Who? Marianne Fisher? Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was Marianne Fisher. Was that who you thought it was?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, it was. All right. So what is the name of the demon who has to kill Angel in order for him to be free in the ring?
Sajan?
Trepkos.
Trepkos. Okay.
It beats me. I can't comment, but yes, that's it. Trepkos. All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Yes. Trepkos. 888-876-5593. And Ruth in Gurnee. How's it going, Ruth?
Good evening. Cap of the moon to you.
Yes.
Mr. Jane.
Yes.
That statement that you made not too long ago, moments ago, about not related, you hoped it was not related, that is what I consider to be an incredible radio feng shui. Now, you would, I love to hear you laugh. I would think that Scorpio astrologically is incredible at creating certain circumstances and situations, and therefore, with the negativity that's constantly metastasized and reported, through the media, you could really nip that in the bud with that phrase, not related. It's just it's an incredible phrase, and I am going to use it often because it removes anything attached. It's like sucking the air out of the room or the air out of the demon or whatever it is. So it's an incredible phrase that you came up with, and you should try developing radio feng shui, something that has never been mentioned before. You could get the ball rolling.
Well,
I
was going to say it wouldn't be with Civil War and Valentine's Day, because actually there is a connection to that, believe it or not. Not so much of trivia questions, but the New York Herald in 1863 had an advertisement: "Don't forget your soldiers' lovers, a story of Civil War Valentine." So they had Valentine's Day advertisements because hearts at war, Valentine's Day became even more important during the Civil War. How about that?
That is unique. This is also 39% of the Americans think they're so learned.
Oh, you're right. Right. But no, I got a Valentine's Day question for you, related, sort of. Of course, we think of Valentine's Day for lovers or whatever. Well, a very important patent was applied for on Valentine's Day. What patent?
A patent on Valentine's Day. Wow, that's unique. Was it publicized?
Well, yeah, maybe not when it was filed, but certainly shortly thereafter, it was also contested, but the patent stood.
Okay, the patent was, the litigation was effective. Would it be something involving candy?
Nope. It has nothing to do with Valentine's Day, I assure you. It just so happened it was filed on Valentine's Day.
Oh, it was filed on Valentine's Day. So that's almost like fiction or something.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Way in another. Yeah, I was looking for related Valentine's Day things. But you're right. This is not related at all. That if the patent was, I knew a patent attorney actually used to commute with him on the train. Okay, the trivia questions that you have right now where you're looking for 39% of Americans.
Yes. Well, let me tell you about the patent, since you're giving up on that. Believe it or not, because it was a patent that affects all of us, it was the day, February 14th, 1876, that Alexander Graham Bell applied for the telephone patent.
Wow, I just called to say I love you.
Oh, God, I hope so. Yeah.
There's the connection.
Well, there you go.
There's the connection. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now, the trivia questions, and then something that I'd like to say about the Chinese New Year's parade.
Uh-huh.
It was packed, thousands of people. And I have been to so many of them, both North Side and South Side, Wentworth, and I had a lofty location to be up there watching it as it turned the corner from Wentworth onto number 22 Cermak Road, 22 South. And then I had all different locations that I've been at previously in Chinese New Year's parades. So I got to reminisce about the parade. And then at so many parades that I had been in, I just got in them. I just followed along with a unit, like St. Patrick's Day. I went with Gaelic Park just about 3 or 4 years ago. All different kinds of parades. I would just get in and join them as if I were one of the persons designated to be in the parade. So when I thought about this Chinese New Year's parade, so significantly different with the amounts of people that turned out, and the bagpipers, this year, if I could have walked or even gone in by way of a wheelchair, I would have gone in with one of my set of bagpipes. And they had bagpipers in the parade, which makes me remember Fox Lake, many parades. And those I joined on my own, got taken off of one float and then put onto another one. And then I put in a prayer for bagpipers for the Fox Lake 4th of July parade, and the prayer was answered. The next year, there were bagpipers in the Fox Lake Parade. So one other question about Wing, the Chinese girl.
Oh, God, yes.
I know. That was the funniest Valentine that I ever heard. I don't usually go for the funny Valentine type of thing, but that was really funny. Do you think she did Unchained Melody?
I'm afraid she might have. But whatever she did, she's not going to be heard on this show ever again.
We're going to cease to hear the laughter of
Wing, we're done with Wing. You can catch her on YouTube anytime you want. So
okay, I have a request for a song.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And it is, because it has something to do with China, Chinese, I heard it, and it seemed to be a close relative of doo-wop in the 1950s, but I'm not too sure of the artist or the group. Could be the Platters, the Lettermen, and it was Love is a Many Splendor Thing.
Oh, God.
That's actually
a pop standard. Long before doo-wop and all that stuff, Love is a Many Splendored Thing is around as a pop standard. You can hear that by any artist you want any day on YouTube. There's hundreds of them.
This one was close to doo-wop. It was so related, and it had to be somebody from the 1950s. Tons and tons of people covered that song.
I'm afraid so.
I love that, the golden crown that makes a man a king. That's kind of like Bobby Darin's Yuletide Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
That's an incredible lyric on that song. But, okay, well,
I'll look for it.
I thought it was close enough.
Probably the version you're thinking of was actually a very big hit version, but I don't really want to play it. That'd be the Four Aces. But the first recording of it was Don Cornell, if you remember him. Don Cornell was a big pop standard singer. So
this is the thing about your program, is how much more you get out there that had not really been common knowledge. You know, it was like, I wonder, with listening to Chicago radio stations, I never got that incredible music back in the 50s, 60s that I hear now. So there's a lot of these people that I don't know who they are. So it's your choice if you even want to play
it. I'll tell you who also did it. Is Little Anthony the Imperials did it in 1959. But the big hit was the Four Aces. But I might play Little Anthony. I'm definitely not playing the Paul Anka version. But everybody and their brother did this. I mean, literally, almost 400 people recorded Love is a Many Splendored Thing. They just wouldn't let it die. But so maybe we'll do Little Anthony. But all right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Ruth.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay. Good night. Bye.
Okay, bye. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-ROLLYE. We're going to do charts with Brian from Joliet. It's been a while since we've heard from Brian, so we'll be checking in with him next. Then we got Paul in Buffalo Grove, Lost Television Trivia, and you too right here on WGN Radio.
I think that you don't care. And it's more than I can bear. I don't know, baby. Maybe it's all in my mind. All in my mind. I know that I've been true. But tell me. Confused, I just don't know what in this world to do. People are saying your love for me has grown cold. I know, darling, and people like to talk and gossip, but I just can't help feeling that what they say is true. Baby, when I take you in my arms and hold you close, it just thrills me through and through. I have always been so happy because I took for granted you felt the same way too. But now when I hold you tight and kiss you, I can't help thinking that although you're in my arms, someone else is in your heart.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that soliloquy was a dead giveaway, I do believe, but nonetheless worth it. Yeah, absolutely. But he was on fire. He was on fire for his hits, too, if you want to call them hits. Stephanie in Madison knows who it is. So, Stephanie, welcome back to WGN Radio.
I'm going to say Maxine Brown.
Oh, my God, you didn't say that. No.
No.
I expected you didn't know this.
Well, you know what? I was going to say that until I heard the soliloquy, I thought, oh, maybe not.
Well, so come on. Who, yeah, well, really, who on earth does a soliloquy that sounds exactly like that? I mean, it's the same tone and intonation and meter and all that.
Oh, no. You know what? I was listening, the soliloquy came on when I turned off the radio and it came to my phone. Oh, I am addle-brained, Raleigh. I am. I just jumped on it, you know, and
yeah, certainly not Maxine Brown. God knows.
Oh,
just the thought of it's
shame,
funny.
Swat, swat, swat.
Yeah,
right?
Funny. All right, so if you think of something else, call me back.
I will do that. Take
right,
care.
Thanks. So yeah, I was sure she was going to get that, because that soliloquy is such a dead giveaway. Well, to me anyway. And let's see. Cynthia is in Darien. Cynthia, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I'm the nurse I called this week.
Yes.
I just got home from work.
Yes.
I just got home from work, and so I just put the radio on. I just want to say hi and keep up the good work.
Oh,
and
thank you.
I wish I had a voice like yours, because it's a take command voice.
Oh, man.
And I can do that when I'm in a code, okay? Like, you know, the code on the floor.
Oh, yeah. No, you do it when it matters. That's right. Believe me.
But I just want to say, I really wish I had your voice, but keep up the good work. And that's it. I'm going to try and unwind and listen to you now.
Yes. Well, you deserve a good night, and hopefully you will have it. Thanks for what you did today.
Oh, well, thank you. But keep up the good work.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'll tell you what, being a nurse is not easy and very often thankless as well. And man, my heart goes out to everybody, because, you know, when you get down to it, if you've ever been really sick for any period of time, the real contact is with the nurses you meet. I mean, the doctors, that's great. But in terms of one-on-one, nothing works better than a great relationship with a nurse. So let's see. We got Brian and Joliet. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Brian. Brian won a charge from 1971, and I'm ready for him, and he's gone.
Come to the phone right now. Please leave a message.
Oh, that's hilarious. No, I didn't call you, Brian, really. All right. Although, you know, I'm not above that. Yeah, I laugh. On one of my radio stations in Arizona, once a month we do the meetings of, like, the county commissioner and the city mayor and things like that. And I'm always trolling for calls from the constituents. And, of course, no one ever calls. And I joke that, you know, that I'm going to go out and snatch you off the street and get you to a phone. Well, it never occurred to me that I'd call and leave messages. But I guess that was Brian disconnecting. And hopefully he will call again. So we're going to do Lost trivia. But Andrew in Chicago. Yes. Oh, man. Here, Love is a Many Splendor Thing. Had to think of the soap opera. Yes, Brian. I'm afraid so, Andrew. A soap opera, too.
Oh, wow. That was quick.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It never happened as quickly before.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else in line?
Yes. Why? You want to prepare? I can, not at all. I can talk to Paul in Buffalo Grove. We'll do Lost TV trivia.
No, do me.
So to speak, as it were. Okay.
I'm flattered.
Yeah. So, yes, Love is a Many Splendor Thing did become a soap opera. And probably based upon the song of the same name, though I would be reasonably sure that the subject matter was quite different. Yes? Hello?
So what's the question?
Well, no,
yeah,
that wasn't the question. You want a question about Love is a Many Splendor Thing. We were talking about the song,
yeah.
Love is a Many Splendor Thing. You want a question about it. I didn't know you wanted a question.
About the soap opera.
Okay. Yes, you would know this, true. Let me see if I can find one. I wasn't prepared for this. It just said Love is a Many Splendor Thing. Didn't realize we were doing trivia, but we can. And when let's go.
Wait, is today Monday?
Yeah, it is. When did when? This is not your trivia question, but when did that show go on the air?
When did it go on the air?
Yeah.
Let's see. It ended in 73. Okay. I believe it was on the air on 67.
Mm-hmm.
68.
Okay. Let's see. No, this can't be right. All right. I'll have to find out somewhere else another question, because I know that it wasn't based on the real life of Han Suen, who wrote a novel. All right, so we'll just move right on.
Jill, just give me any other soap opera.
All right, well, hang on, because the news is saving us both, and right after the news, you will have a question coming up right here on WGN
Fantastic,
Radio.
Fantastic, Raleigh. Thank you.
Slow. Rock me one time, Lord, before I go. I say, rock me, mama. Yeah, rock me, mama.
James. All right, so who is that? Yeah, and certainly a well-known name in the blues world, that's for sure. And he was on fire, as are all the bumper stumpers. That was our theme. They were all on fire, which was guessed earlier. So we're back to Andrew in Chicago for Love is a Many Splendored Thing. By the way, started in 67, ended in 73. Are you with
us? Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, yeah, it was another one of those Irma Phillips soap operas. Now, it had an all-star cast. Yeah, as you probably know, Donna Mills and Leslie Charlson and David Burney and many more. Diana Douglas, a big, big show. And it was a spinoff from a 20th Century Fox film of a decade earlier. But regardless, all right, the title sequence shows a picture. And it shows a picture, a famous picture of a famous landmark in a city in America. What's the title sequence?
Bridge.
Yes, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They also had live shots of junk boats from Hong Kong interspersed and all that kind of stuff. And yes, the Golden Gate Bridge was the feature. So you are a winner.
Yeah, also, by the way, online, and is there a way where we can like look at your ratings or your demographics?
I have no idea.
Because I want to know.
You know, I don't think there really are any. As far you know, I don't know. I don't even know if WGN subscribes. So I don't know. I would say you're listening, and that's all I need, Andrew.
Thank you.
All right.
I would love as many splendid thing. I said the Bible for the show, but Erna wrote.
Yeah.
And it was originally. Central character is going to be the daughter from the film.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, Fred Silverman told her you have to get rid of her because he didn't like the love triangle. But what was interesting is that I have the Bible for the show, and it's remarkable. Like, absolutely very well written on her part. And what would have happened was going to be absolutely incredible, you know, with Mark's wife from the first film,
mm-hmm.
who didn't know about the affair, mm-hmm. coming in. And, oh, yeah.
Oh no, you're right. This was very cutting edge, and yes, CBS balked. Obviously, there were so many things that the CBS censors were apoplectic about, but the interracial story between the Caucasian and the Amerasian woman, of course, then they didn't want the subplot of the death of a patient because of a botched abortion. You know, they were like, no, you can't do that. And that's about the time that Ernest said, yeah, see you later, bye.
Yeah, well, also it's because the film was about an interracial romance.
Yeah.
With the botched abortion, so that actually happened before the show started, but the guy who did it fudged the paperwork to make it look like there was not an abortion, something like that.
Yeah, well, like I say,
get caught.
The whole thing, you know, that the censors are you know, just going to come unglued about all of this.
That was CBS's problem.
Oh yeah, well yeah, absolutely.
Then The Young and the Restless premiered.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they were also at a point where they were embarrassed about their nighttime lineup in the late 60s because they didn't want to be known as the Hillbilly Network. That's a true story, by the way.
Oh yeah, I know. What I admire about Fred Silverman, though, is that it's how when he came in, he pretty much, you know,
he removed all that stuff. He removed a lot of that stuff, not to his benefit in the long run. I think dropping Hee Haw was incredibly stupid, considering how many years it did well in syndication. It's not like dropping Lawrence Welk because all the demos are 90 to death. You know, I mean, Hee Haw had an active... an active audience.
You know,
so.
But at least he modernized television.
Well, then there's the silver bullet. Yes, he did. And, of course, I remember when he got involved with a guy who was a program director in radio. A lot of people will remember Paul Drew. Paul convinced him to bring in Pink Lady. You might remember Pink Lady. It was a television show, a variety show at night with this two girls singing Japanese songs. The problem is they couldn't speak a word of English. So they had to have Pink Lady and Jeff, with Jeff doing the speaking. That every time I think about Fred Silverman, I think about Pink Lady and Jeff. It's really all you need to know.
Oh, why did you say that's silver bullet?
Yeah, yeah, well. You know, I mean, there's so much to talk about with that. But there was a guy at CBS before him, in fact, a guy John had worked with, who was really good. And right now I forget his name, so that's terrible, but rest in peace.
Haley?
No. Why can't I think of this? And last time John saw him was in Palm Beach, where he had been retired, and they spent an afternoon together. I can't remember it. And he went on to do Cube, Warner Cube.
Mike Dann.
Thank you. Mike Dann. Yeah, so if you want to do some reading, Mike Dann, D-A-N-N, and certainly he was vice president of programming at CBS from 63 to 70. He had been at NBC long before that, and he was really good. Of course, he and Silverman wasn't gonna work out.
Before I close, which will be very quickly, two things. Whenever you get a chance, look up the Trailer Trash Tammy videos on YouTube.
Trailer Trash who?
Tammy. She's an independent comedian.
Okay.
And I think that it's so cutting edge.
Oh, here she is.
Secondly, Roseanne Barr has a YouTube show where she interviews people.
All right.
And, it's a trip.
No, I'm looking around. I'll check that out later. Trailer Trash. I mean, every time I think about that, I think that Mattel sued, but someone had come up with Trailer Trash Barbie, and it had a whole wardrobe, of course, and that was fairly hilarious. But when you said Trailer Trash Tammy, the first thing I thought of was Tammy Faye Baker, and I thought, oh man, we're gonna have PTL stories. But all right, I'll look for her.
Yeah. Roseanne is saying that Taylor Swift is a closet Jew, and her last name is actually Swift.
Fine. Oh, please. Apparently. Yes, or not. Thank you. Chelsea Lynn, apparently, is the internet personality and stand-up comedian who apparently started a platform as Trailer Trash Tammy. All right. I'll check it out. Why not? So, Yeah, when I'm looking for my nuts at night, you know, things on YouTube to put me to sleep, usually like near-death experiences or alien adventures or whatever, you know, Akashic records, you name it, the stuff that will not be so boring that your mind will start to wander, but not be so interesting that you'll stay awake. That's, that's sort of the sweet spot for me. But so I see all these other things, and occasionally I'll come across people on YouTube that are just terrific. There's Gabriel Iglesias. He's a comic. I just think the guy is truly funny. I'm looking at one of the Gabriel Iglesias clips right now. Batman is overrated, so you can check him out. And I will check out Trailer Trash Tim. I can't wait. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Oh, we're going to do charts with Jerry from Montana. Ah, December of 1962. A nice year. Johnny D has guests for trivia, and also wants Godfather trivia. Paul, we're doing Lost trivia, and Gary in Austin has a bumper guest, I'm sure he knows, but another bumper is coming up in moments here on WGN Radio.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Stop your worrying. Daddy don't want you to worry.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I realized that was not the record by them I had planned to play, but that was made it pretty obvious who they were. What I had planned to play was this.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I've heard both of them. Who are they? 888-876-5593-8888.
Raleigh. All right, so let's see. Gary has a bumper guest, and he usually knows, in Austin. So welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh, I think I heard Bobby Marchand.
Yes, absolutely. Doing All in My Mind. Who else could it possibly have been?
Yeah, Fran was walking around here doing the soliloquy from There's Something on Your Mind.
Yeah, look over your left shoulder, and yes, absolutely. All right, good deal. You're a winner as usual.
Hang on.
All right. Go away. Thanks.
All right. So, yes, Bobby Marchand. It couldn't have been anybody else. It was just he did the best soliloquies. As you know, that was an original goal of mine that I never met. When in school, they would always have to write what your goals were when you're in various classes. And I always wrote that my goal in life was to make all the R&B soliloquies talk to each other in a long playing conversation. And I started to do that at one point and then quickly gave up. But you know that Bobby Marchand was going to be a centerpiece for sure. So let's see. Paul in Buffalo Grove wants Lost TV trivia. How's it going, Paul?
Alrighty.
All right. So we're going to do Lost. Now, I've lost the Lost question. Wait, where did it go here? No. Okay. All right. Here we go. This was interesting. What is the name of Walt's dog? Hello, operator.
Yeah.
What is... let's see. Maybe I can give you...
Person's name.
Yeah.
Vincent.
Yes, absolutely right. Vincent was the dog. Right. You are 100% right. All right, hang on. Don't go away. Very good. Yes, absolutely. Vincent. I don't even know what kind of dog Vincent was, but I'm sure he was lovely. So let's see what... I think we're going to do charts. And then we got Johnny D. Don't go away, Johnny D. He's got a guess. And we still have a trivia question. We'll get back to that. But Jerry and I are going to do charts. How's it going, Jerry?
Good. I thought, about 2 weeks ago, I embarrassed myself with the Millie Small thing. So I thought I'd see how I'd do on charts.
Oh, you will do very well. These are all big hits. And you want 1962, December of 62. And
And you know what? I knew the answer on the, I don't think it was a trivia question, but on the radio survey, the ARB thing,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
You knew it was Pulse. All right. Well, very good. Well, we'll have, you can always ask for radio trivia. We'll come up with something. But anyway, we have charts, December 15th, 1962. That sound like a good week?
Well, that's good with me.
All right. Number one, Big Girls Don't Cry.
Four Seasons, Frankie Valli.
Yeah. Number two, Return to Sender.
Elvis.
Yeah. Number three, Bobby's Girl.
Marcy Blaine.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Number four, Limbo Rock.
I love that, Marcia. I love that Bobby's Girl song.
When people ask
Limbo
me,
Rock,
what would you like to be now that you're not a kid anymore? Yes, absolutely. Number five, Telstar.
The Tornadoes.
Yes, yes, the Tornadoes. Yes. Yes, the Tornadoes. Number six, Don't Hang Up.
The Orlon?
Yes. Number seven, The Lonely Bull.
It could have been Herb Alpert.
Good enough.
Probably Herb Alpert.
Yeah. At that time, it was just the Tijuana Brass, but good enough. All right. Ride.
Ride?
Ride.
Ride, you say?
Yeah, Ride. I was kind of liked Ride.
Yeah, I can't. That's not.
Sure, it is.
That's probably one they didn't play in Montana.
No, they really did. I will have to find this for you here because you know.
Can I have a clue?
Oh well, you can hear it is the deal. So I just have to.
Oh, okay.
So I've got a bunch of these here. Unfortunately, I can't just punch in Ride because I'll get seven records. Let's see what we get. Okay, it's obviously not this. Let's try back here. This might be it. All right. Yes, here we go. Here comes Ride.
Let's party again!
I don't know, D.D. Sharp? Or
absolutely.
Somebody?
D.D. Sharp, I told you you'd get it. Number nine.
Right.
Number nine, Release Me. Female.
It wasn't Ankle Bar Humperdinck.
No, female.
Obviously.
I'm going to let you... Hang on a minute. I'm going to let
hear
you... Yeah, you will hear, but I'm going to let you think about it for a while, and then we'll come back and you'll hear it. But don't go away. Stay right where you are. And we'll hear the news first, and then we'll come back with Release Me, the version that got to number 9 in December of 1962. And we got Johnny D, and we got another hour for you right here on Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, who is that? We've determined she must be on fire since that is our theme tonight. And that came out in 1962. So who is she? 888-876-5593. 8888-Raleigh. All right, so what we have here is the top 10, and we left Jerry in Montana as we were working on number, let's see, it was number 999, Release Me. So you've had time to think about it. Any thoughts?
No, okay. Completely blank, Raleigh.
All right, well, let's let you hear some, and I'll tell you a little bit about her, and maybe that will help. Of course,
I mean, I'm being honest about it. Yeah. During that news break, I could have looked it up on Google, but I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, right, you could have, but what's the fun in that since the prizes are worthless? So hang on a minute. All right, so here you go. Here she is. So what do you think?
Well, it wouldn't be Irma Thomas, would it?
No, it's not Irma Thomas, but let's see what I can tell you about this young lady. And she was young when she started out. She was 14 years old, actually, and she got discovered by Johnny Otis in L.A., even though I think she was...
Not Garnett Mims.
No. Garnett Mims was that guy. All right, so so here we go. Let's see what else I can tell you. After Johnny Otis, she had, like I say, the early 50s, she had a few things, and then she was on Federal after Johnny Otis, and then she, sadly, before she was 20, she was already, you know, being treated for heroin addiction and things like that. But in 1962, she made a comeback, and Release Me, which you just heard, got to number one on the R&B charts, and ultimately number eight on the pop charts. And it was actually Kenny Rogers' brother, Leland, who put her on Lennox Records, which was a little label he owned. And then she was signed for Atlantic. She did a cover of a Beatles song, And I Love Him. She did a number of things as far as that goes. But you can't think of her, huh?
No, I just, I've heard it a million times. I just, you know, the song, but
oh,
I...
Oh, yeah.
No, I just, I stumbled on nine, so.
Well, Esther Phillips.
Oh, okay, that sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, Esther Phillips. My favorite by her was something she did on Atlantic, Let Me Know When It's Over, that I thought was just terrific. But in any event, that's all right, and we've got another one, because, you know, you only have to get 70% right, so even if you get this next one wrong, you'd still win. The number 10 song, I'm sorry to say, Go Away, Little Girl.
Oh, Steve Lawrence.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Well, very good. That was 90%.
Well, thank you. That's all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
not to change the subject, but wasn't there another rating service back in the 50s,
well, yeah,
early 60s on the West Coast, Eastman or something?
Well, Eastman was a rep firm, but the big ratings in the 50s were C.E. Hooper and Trendex. And then it was C.E. Hooper and Pulse. And then we got into the American Research Bureau.
Yeah, I had never heard of Trendix, but the reason I heard of Pulse when I went from, I came out of Minot, North Dakota, went to, you know, you made fun of me for working in Altoona, but when I got to Altoona in 69, I got there, I was driving a Volkswagen Bug pulling a U-Haul with a Kinkajou in it. So I got there and listened to the stations, and I actually ended up going to work for the Triangle station. But we had a Triangle station. That's when it was out of Philly.
Annenberg.
I think
Annenberg owned it. Yeah.
Yeah, we had Philly and New Haven, right. And I think Fresno. And
Channel 6, you had, WFIL-TV and all that.
Yeah,
sure.
So anyway, they had a promo because the ratings came out, and they had a promo on the air that, we're number one, we're number one. And at the end, they said, look, if you don't believe us, call Pulse. And they gave the
that's great.
The number, that was the days of the 1-212, the New York area code.
Sure.
And I thought, well, yeah, it must be true if they're, giving the phone number. I was just a young fella then.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, I always had heard on more radios than any other electrical appliance. So, yeah, that's about it. But yeah, Pulse was big until, we broadcasters, in a fit of insanity in 1966, approved the diary method because people were so hell-bent on having a coincidental survey, a survey that was happening while it was going on. And they believed that people would write down what they were doing in a diary while they were doing it. Well, of course, nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah, and didn't they always start on...
Thursday morning till the books were Thursday morning till Wednesday if you were doing a week survey, and it used to be 3 weeks in the fall and 3 weeks in the spring for most markets.
Well, and it seemed to me, at least my experience was it really depended. In our area in central Pennsylvania, it really depended where they sent the.
Well, of course.
The books out, too.
Well, not so much where they sent them, where they were returned from, because, of course, they sent a lot of diaries that never got returned. So, yes, where the returns came from, of course, that made the difference.
Yeah, because the Southern District, that was more agriculture, farming, and then it would depend. And then if it was close to the Penn State campus, the different things. And, how back in those days, sometimes a daytimer would show up at night.
Oh yeah, yeah. My favorite story like that was during the Cuban Missile Crisis when WSB in Atlanta broadcast wholly in Spanish and they were the number one station in Atlanta. And I thought a lot more bilingual people in Atlanta than I realized there in Fulton County. But I know what you mean about that because the county coverage that Nielsen does, county by county, for people like me, where I own stations in very small markets, they do something called county coverage that's still diary. And what will happen is for a year worth of ratings, maybe there will be 47 diaries returned for a county that's 150 miles long. And the reality is that in the north part of the county, you cannot hear stations that are located in the south part of the county, and vice versa, because the middle of the county.
Yeah, that's how. Yeah, yeah. That's how Blair. That's how Blair County was in
yeah,
central
exactly.
Pennsylvania.
So if the diaries were returned from an area that you couldn't cover, you could go from worst to first or first to worst just because of diary placements, and especially if it's a low in tab, not a lot of people returned them. Yeah, it clearly. Was not representative of what anybody was actually hearing.
Do you think the people meter was any better?
Well, I think the people meter fulfills what they were after when they came up with the diary. I think that the concept of the people meter is a good one, but as far as the execution, it's been a rocky ride. But concept-wise, yeah, I'll go for that. But it's all in the execution. And it, like I say, it has been rocky. I know in the first couple of years they started out, they had a couple of zip codes in San Francisco where no one ever listened to any radio station at all. And highly unlikely. And then of course, you get into, how is this encoded and things of that nature. So there's a number of technical questions. But as far as theory, I'll go with that over diary any day of the week.
Okay.
Have you ever gone and looked at a diary review? It used to be in Beltsville, Maryland. They moved it from there. But
I worked for program directors. That was always a big deal. They'd go down to Beltsville come back with some answers.
Yeah, but the answers, sadly, were disappointing. My favorite things were where people, it used to have AM or FM, and people would change the FM to a PM and write in the time. And I love that. Also, it was interesting how nobody ever started listening to the radio at, say, 12 minutes to the hour. It was always top of the hour, or bottom of the hour, you know, and obviously they were filled in after the fact. The comments part was the stuff that would, you know, turn your bowels to jelly when you read some of that. And I remember a couple in Baltimore that I loved. One was for a WBAL diary. I mean, this person listened to WBAL like 12 hours a day, every weekday. And then in the comments section, it said, "Leaving radio on, teaching my parrot to talk." So I said, "Oh, the parrot demo. Well, that's good." The other one was the beautiful music station. They were running Schulke Easy Listening, and you know, it was an older woman, but she was just listening to this nonstop. And which, you know, okay, I guess that's possible. You look at the comments though, and it said, "I'm filling this out for my grandmother who died recently. This is the station she would have listened to if she were alive." And so by the way, these are diaries that made the tabulation. All right. When you're reviewing them, they've made the tabulation. They weren't kicked out. And so, you know, I immediately said, "Oh, it's the dead demo." Well, that's good that you're doing well in that. So, yeah, the comments.
That'd be a hard demographic to sell.
Well, it would. It really would. And if they were buying anything, the hell with radio, I got a lot of other questions. So, the comment section really would be a rude awakening. Years and years ago, if I wanted to know how radio stations were doing, because I always thought the diary method at best measured perception. You know, nobody wrote down anything inconsistent with their self-image. Like, no red-blooded American male was going to write down that they listened to Delilah's love songs. Not that she was on back then, but you know what I mean. I would go to the airport and get in the rental cars and look at the presets. And that would usually tell me, if I saw stations that were always coming up on the presets, who really was delivering a good format, because those were people who were not, you know, they were renting the car, they landed at the airport, they were not influenced by long-term promotion or positioning or anything, it was just what they were hearing. And it was always interesting to compare that with what showed up in the numbers.
Yeah, we actually, back in the 60s in Great Falls, Montana, we had four AM stations, and we'd check the cars in shopping center parking lots,
right,
because the frequencies were spread out. There was like a 560, a 1310, and a 1400, and a 1450. So you could,
back then you could just look, right? You could just look at the radio. It was AM only. You could see where that little dial was pointing, and you'd know.
Yeah. Hey, I have to ask you, I hear you talk about old guys. I just, you know, out of curiosity, if you remember someone I worked for, Bob Lyons.
Oh, sure. Well, that name is unfortunately belongs to a lot of people. So give me other stations.
Well, he was, his real name was Bob Hughes. He worked,
was he the guy?
Was it the Burton chain?
Yeah, could have been Burton. Yeah. Bobby Lyons.
Was that like Coyle in Omaha?
Yes.
No stations?
And Kissin in Portland. Yeah, that Bobby Lyons. He was at CKR as well. Then there was a Louisville Bobby Lyons, Bob Lyons.
Yeah, well, okay, the Louisville.
Okay.
What was the station in Louisville
KLO.
He worked for?
He was at WKLO in Louisville.
Yeah. He was my program director when I was in Akron.
Really? Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
He was there early 60s, and I remember him fairly well. And I think there are air checks of him on YouTube.
I came across an air check of him one time, but.
Uh-huh.
I worked for him in 70, 71,
uh-huh.
And that was when AKR and Akron, they
right.
bought, they had K-Box in Dallas, and they bought the station in Denver. I can't think
right,
of what
K-I-M-N.
It was.
K-I-M-N.
No, they didn't buy that one.
They
bought the one with three call letters.
Right. Damn, why? I know exactly. Why is this leaving me? But and Kim.
Yeah, was it KLZ?
Yes, KLZ Denver, of course. I think.
Yeah, he went out to program director there.
Yeah, 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 that was the 560, KLZ 560. Yeah, I remember them well, but Kim always beat the hell out of them regardless. But yeah, I think that after KLO, Bob Lyons, I think he was using Bob Hughes, or he might have been using Bob Lyons then, but he went to Wynn in Louisville doing country.
No, the Bob I knew, the Bob Lyons I knew from the one I'm talking about, he went to Denver.
Okay.
in probably 70 or 71 when they bought the Denver property.
Yeah, this would have been way before that. This would have been like 63. But was he at Wife in Indy? And that was a Don Burden section.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. All right, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he fell in the shower in Denver.
God. Oh God!
And then was
oh God!
You know, lived several years in a care home. So
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was he was a wonderful, just a wonderful person. Yeah. I thought, you know.
Well, he was big in Louisville, and he did well at Wife. That's for sure. Yep. All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear about his accident. I did not know about that. All right.
Well, I could tell you worse stories than that.
But. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you talk about Denver radio, and oh, my God, the Jay Mack story is the saddest one on Kim. And Jay Mack was just an absolute killer night jock, and he had substance problems and other problems, but he went to the Christmas party and he drove, I think she was the receptionist. Anyway, they got in a really bad car wreck and neither of them died. She probably would have been better off if she had, but it really just completely tore Jay Mack apart. And then he wound up, you know, trying to come back, but never really did. And finally he died many years later, probably the 90s. But yeah, Jay Mack, he was like the biggest thing at night, the Jay Mack attack, and then gone. But yeah.
Did you know John Hendricks in Denver?
I know the name, but why don't I know him? Where was he?
Well, he was at Kim. He was at Kim at one time, and he's up in Montana. He runs KJZ in Kalispell now.
Okay, all right.
He had been at KJR Seattle, Kim, and then he spent he got in the country, and he was in New York for 10
okay.
or 12 years
right,
for
maybe.
Selector or something.
Okay, maybe that's where I know him.
And then I think ended up for a while. He's at Jones in Colorado.
Right, right, absolutely. And yeah, Glenn Jones wound up having those networks. You're absolutely right. Yeah, if you're ever interested in the Jay Mack story, I think the Denver Magazine from when he was still alive had an interesting story on him. But like I say, he was in 64. He was like super jock, best jock in all of Denver. And oh man, was it bad. So
yeah,
always good to talk to you.
I'm not even going to mention the guy's name. It's a sad thing. But when I was in
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. John says I'm blowing the news again, which figures I can't tell time. So stay right where you are, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. Right. WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James. All right, so who is that? We know he's on fire. And that was 1962. And I thought it was a great record with lousy, lousy production. I'm sorry to say. Most of Bobby Robinson's stuff was a little better than that, but a fine song nonetheless. And we were talking to Jerry, who I rudely interrupted for the news. Sorry about that, Jerry.
Oh, no, I'm right here.
Yes.
So, I know, I was going to real quick tell you, the speaking of bad endings, bad stories, I was in Bismarck, North Dakota, 68, 69, and program director I worked for, and then I left, and I went east to Pennsylvania. He left maybe a year after me, went to Colorado Springs, the rock station at the time. I can't think of what it was. It was the AM rocker. Anyway, the person I knew and another man, they started an advertising agency.
Uh-huh.
And I guess in business, you get two partners will have insurance on each other.
I'm almost afraid to hear what this is about.
Well, no, it's bad. And so what the deal is, the other guy, and there were a couple people involved anyway, they set them up at a bar, and they sent a woman in, and she let them outside or something. Anyway, they killed him, and that's the end of that story.
Yeah, that's where I thought, when you said life insurance, and you said, now, did he get caught?
Oh, yeah, they were arrested, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I guess it was KILO in Colorado Springs back then. I'm not sure, but that's the one that comes to mind. But, oh, man, I'll tell you what. Yeah, if we ever did murders in radio, we could probably be here for the next 3 weeks. What a lovely note to say goodbye on. All right, so always, always good to hear from you, Jerry. Thank you.
Well, who was the guy back in the 60s out in Los Angeles that recorded part of his show back in the days?
Humble Harv. But you're talking about
Humble Harv.
Well,
yeah.
That was a horrible story. His wife at the time was Gladys, and he had a record guy, a record promoter, stay in his house, and Gladys taunted him and called him on the air while she was engaged. You know, how do I clean this up easily? In oral proclivities, we'll just leave it there. And he was so mad. What happened and what hung him was that he put bail money in a record jacket at KHJ and went home, of course, and killed her. But had he not done that, he probably could have gotten away, with whatever the crimes of insanity or whatever they call them. But it was a real soap opera because it was Phil Spector who hit him out. And so he was at Phil's house for a while, and ultimately he came in, and I think he only got a few years. I don't think he served more than 2 or 3 years on that. And then he was out. And it was...
Yeah, and I think when he was in prison, he was teaching a radio course.
Yeah, he was. He started a little radio station, and that helped get him off for good behavior. He was teaching the inmates radio and all this kind of stuff. And he met a woman in prison. Well, she wasn't in prison. She obviously was writing him. And anyway, they got married. And I remembered after he got out of prison, he got hired for a job at WFIL in Philadelphia. And, I can tell these stories now because sadly Humble Harv is no longer with us. But I remember because he was there for a while, and a friend of mine was also working for the station. And he'd later go to the CBS FM station. But anyway, Harvey Holiday was his name. But he had some run-ins with Harv's wife where she, I guess, was flirting, to say, cleaning up nicely. And finally he went to Harv and said, "Harv, you murdered the wrong wife." Oh, God. And so anyway, they wound up getting divorced. So she came back home, and he came back to L.A. And he worked a number of stations before he died.
Yeah, I heard that. So
Humble Harv Miller. He originally was on a little Burbank AM station when Bill Drake heard him and hired him to do nights at KHJ. He wasn't part of the original
crew. Was that KBLA?
Yeah. Anyway, I always said that Harv was the only person I know who could turn the word Motown into a verb. And so he could. I mean, he absolutely, absolutely could. So that's where he was. It was the 1580, which, of course, you know, later. But at the time, KBLA 1580, that's where he was. And he started.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I was, I got my first phone out in Burbank in 65. So when I was out there, Roscoe was on KBLA, too, at the time. Yeah.
And then, of course, that became K-Day. So, yeah, that's the deal. He was there. Did you go to Don Martin?
No, I went to William B. Ogden Radio Operational Engineering.
Oh, Ogden, of course, Ogden, yeah. No, Ogden, absolutely. And Don Steele went to Ogden also.
Oh, I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, in 54. Yeah,
54. So. Yeah, I was there in the spring of 65, and that was when KHJ just went on with their boss radio. So
yeah, May of 65, right?
Yeah, some good radio memory, and then KWB downtown, they were good too.
Well, they commit suicide, and they were just waiting to die because they made fun of the Beatles, and that killed them. And of course, KRLA, which no longer had a license at that point, they had lost their license because a Canadian owned them. And so, long story, but that was the upshot. Anyway,
when I was there in 60, I was there, I guess in the spring of 65. I think I got out in June. And KRLA was on then, and they sounded good.
Yeah, they were like I say, but they hadn't had a license for a few years. They were still operated by the Oak Knoll Foundation out of Pasadena, and they absolutely, you know, they hit on that British invasion thing and thought that was their big success. So they were doing a lot of British invasion. So if you know, and when the KHJ list debuted, everybody remembers the Boss Jocks and the Promotions, and that's fine. But if you looked at the KHJ list, there was a lot of heavy R&B on that list originally. So it was an easy way to defeat what KRLA was doing. And like I say, even though KFWB was still breathing, they were really dead man walking at that time. They never recovered from making fun of the Beatles. So
great days, great memories in radio, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Yeah, good talking with you. Thank you so much, Roland.
Okay, bye. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh, and we'll see if Johnny D is still with us. I hope so. Johnny D, are you still around?
Oh yeah, Raleigh, I'm still here. It's just listening to the reminiscing. And,
yeah. Well, good. So, what do you think? You wanted to answer. You want to answer the trivia question?
No, I never. I think. Well, listen, now, did anybody guess that you're 39% thing?
No, absolutely not. 20 years ago, a major research study in the United States revealed that 39% of Americans describe themselves in this way. What way?
All right. I got a few of them here. Depressed?
Nope. What else you got?
Alcoholic?
Nope. What else you got?
Bipolar?
Nope. What else?
Neurotic?
No. What else?
Paranoid.
What else? Get one more. Big finish.
Libertarians.
Yeah. Which one of these doesn't belong? All right. No. All right. And you want a Godfather question?
Yeah, go ahead.
In part one, what is the name of the Sicilian who set up Michael with a car bomb in Italy?
Okay. This is in one?
Yes, part one. Apollonia is waiting for Michael in the car in their driveway in Italy.
Yeah, all right. I got the picture in my head.
Good.
All right. Let me think. Apollonia's in the car, and then he says he comes out on a balcony or something. He goes, give me a second here, Raleigh. Let me see here. God, darn it, I know. I see the kid.
Yeah, because Michael tells him to get the car started. He sees the look on his face.
And he goes, you're going to be driving yourself, boss, or something like that.
And he screams for Apollonia to get out of the car, but it is too late.
Right, because he says to the kid, he goes, where are you going? He says the kid's name, and then it's...
Yeah, so what is his name?
No, wait a minute. The kid's name is... I'm going to say Paulo. I know it's not Paulo.
It's not, but it sounds like a laundry product.
All right. A laundry product.
Yeah, it does. It sounds just like a laundry product.
I know it, but I don't know. I can't.
And, yeah, an air freshener. I had to look up what this product actually did. Air freshener. It sounds like an air freshener.
Yeah. Marcetna. Rogerio or something.
Nope, there's no Rogers.
I didn't say Roger, that's a Rogerio.
Yeah, no, nothing like it.
Okay, wait a minute.
All right.
God darn it.
We're giving up. You ready?
My God, I don't give up. I know it, but I can't think of it. Right.
Fabrizio.
I give up.
Yeah, Fabrizio.
Fabrizio, God darn it. Son of a bitch.
And that's what,
son of a gun.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking, you know, Fabrize, isn't that like an air freshener?
Yeah, Fabrizio. Son of a gun. All right, well, I tried. I should have went with a hominid.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I mean,
this was much more fun. Talk to you next week. Thanks.
Right.
Appreciate it. 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Well, we'll get some Star Trek trivia for Mark and Aurora. We'll get some World War II for James on the South Side. And Sam and Gurney has a guess, 39%. Of the people in the U.S. describe themselves this way. What way? 888-876-5593-8888. Rolly on WGN Radio.
Yeah. I said, now you told me that you love me. Girl, but that don't mean a thing. Cause every time I see you, woman, you're in another man's way. You say you're sick and tired, baby, of the things Larry Dale do. You say I'm going crazy, woman. Girl, but it's all because of you. We got to rock a while. We got to rock a little while. I say we got to rock a while, baby. I say we got to rock a little while.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So who is that? Yeah, on fire, and that's 1969. So late for fire, to say the least. Bobby Robinson's wonderful label. All right. So 888-876-5593. 20 years ago, a major research study in the United States revealed that 39% of Americans describe themselves in this way. What way? All right, that's a fair question. Sam and Gurney's going to take a stab at it. What do you think, Sam?
Hey, Raleigh, thanks for having me on.
Always.
I got a couple of guesses here. I'm going to start out with patriotic.
No, what's next?
Ugly.
Who would admit to that? Nope.
Sexy?
Nope.
Confident?
Nope.
Family-oriented?
Nope.
And how about, I got two more guesses. Good-looking?
Next.
How about mentally ill?
Okay. I don't know, man. I'm ready to claim that on more days than not. But no. Nice choices, though. Thanks. Appreciate it, Sam.
All right. Thanks so much.
Yeah. I'll take any excuse I can get. Now, let's see what Mark and Aurora has to say for his bad self. How's it going, Mark?
Humble Harv did some time at WKBW.
Did he? Now, see, that's interesting because I don't remember him being at KB. I thought he came to L.A., you know, like I say, KBLA, and then KHJ. Are you sure?
So there was a period during which KB was doing Legends of Radio and Humble Harp was out in the morning.
Oh, yes. All right. Now you're talking much, much, much later. I thought you meant like in the early 60s. Yes. No.
No.
When you're talking about Legends of Radio, yeah, there were a lot of people on KB then. But I was thinking, man, did Humble Harp work there? You know, but no. I was thinking around the Joey Reynolds times. Yes. No. But yeah, I'm not surprised. They had a lot of that stuff. And of course, for several years prior to Jack Armstrong's death, they had him doing voice tracks at night.
Yeah.
Let's see. What can we do with you? I had my questions here. Oh yeah, here we go. You will know this. And so here we go. It is,
I haven't for the last three times.
Yeah, but you will this one. You will. I'm pretty sure. Okay. In the episode By Any Other Name, how long did it take the Kelvins to travel from their home galaxy to the Milky Way?
300 years.
Exactly. Now, what happened in the... See, I never watched the show, but did they die on the ship? I mean, how'd they make it?
No. They had given up all of their sensory capability, or they had acquired sensory capabilities in the process of taking on human form, and the crew of the Enterprise that were left over after all the others had been neutralized got them overwhelmed by their senses, and that was how they got the ship back. And Kirk and one of the Kelvins got into a fight because the Kelvin thought that Kirk was trying to take his woman, and... Kirk finally persuaded him that, hey, you know, we wouldn't welcome invaders, but we would welcome friends, you know, and he says, well, what planet could we go to? And McCoy says, well, that planet that you were on was kind of nice.
Well, but
was
I still
an episode about invasion.
I still don't understand. If it took 300 years, how long were their life cycles?
I don't think that was ever specified.
But, I mean, they obviously had to live longer than 300 years. Or they'd have died en route.
Well, no, the Kelvins would pass the mission down to each other.
I see.
In fact, the Kelvins that we were seeing were not going to be alive by the time the ship reached its new
home. All right. Oh, so that's the way they explained it. It would have been easier if they just kind of bent time or something or had them go through a wormhole because, I don't know, you know, all these people going the long way. I don't get that.
And the Kelvin women were all dressed in halter tops, and boy, wasn't it fun.
Well, that'd be fitting for a Kelvin woman, yes.
Well, Roddenberry always dressed his women very, shall we say, sensually.
Yeah, well, as much as you could get away with that, although, but I always thought, they were hot, of course, because Kelvin spelt a little differently as a measure of heat. So I thought, oh, well, of course.
Yes, K-E-L-V-I-N,
yes, of
course. How's it spelled on the series? Oh, K-E-L-V-I-N.
In the measure of heat, it's K-E-L-V-I-N. In the series, it's K-E-L-V-A-N.
Yeah,
but I figure, yeah, of course the Kelvins are hot. What else would they be? They're Kelvins. All right. And the leader
of the Kelvins had a New York City accent.
Oh, perfect. Yes, well, so, perfect. Yeah, all right. Well, you're absolutely right, as usual. See, I told you you'd get it.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, good deal. 300 years. I think they could have written that a little better. But okay. Now, did the Kelvin show up other than that one episode?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
So... they went back to their heat-infested planet.
And the leader's wife actually had an accent, I mean a foreign accent. I don't know whether it was German or something else. But.
Well, I guess better than Martian or something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think you've ended the night. Hang on. We'll confirm that address. Don't go away. And big apologies to James. I even have his World War II question set up right here for him. And so, James, I promise if you call early next week, you will get the first question, and it will be World War II. Now, tomorrow night, I do believe, is a full show. and I haven't been told differently, so we will reconvene 21 hours from now at 10 o'clock Central. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. We thank you for calling. I thank you for calling. It makes it a pleasure to do. Let's do it again tomorrow night right here on WGN Radio.